There's also the idea of fueling fantasies and getting new ingredients, if you like, or new stimulation for things that you haven't tried and may want to integrate into your sex life as well. So getting inspiration to try new things, to potentially step out of your comfort zone. We don't just look at representations of the sex that we have or even the sex that we want to have, but sex that might be freakish to us, but yet nonetheless manages to turn us on as well.
The hookup. Love and f***ing. On Triple J.
Warning, sex and adult themes.
Welcome to the Hookup Podcast. Pornhub released its top 20 most searched terms of 2016, so we'll be unpacking what they say about what we're into these days and the difference between what we might want in a sexual fantasy versus reality. On the podcast, we're joined by Dr. Megan Lim, who is a senior research fellow and head of sexual health and young people research at the Burnett Institute Center for Population Health, and Dr. Lauren Rosewarne, who is a senior lecturer in the School of Social and Political Sciences at the University of Melbourne. I asked what kind of porn that you search, because we here at The Hookup were pretty surprised when Pornhub released their 2016 most searched porn things that people search. And when we read them out later, you probably won't be surprised by a lot of the answers. But Cara, thanks for getting in touch with us. What kind of porn do you search for?
Hi, Hannah. Well, I'm actually an alpha female. I'm a straight woman. I search for women in control. So I do actually like group sex, so when there's one woman and a lot of men, but I like the woman to be in control. And okay. I also enjoy a bit of gay male as well, like muscle blokes and gym stuff and those sorts of things. I don't know why, it just really, it does it for me.
Well, it sounds like you do know. Sounds like you do know why, and that's great. I mean, it's, you know, double the guys, and sounds like you know what you want in your search terms, and that's great.
Yeah, and I think the other thing is there's a lot of, you know, that sort of younger sort of college gay hazing, those sorts of things. I don't really go in for that because to me it seems like it's non-consensual. But I really enjoy consensual porn. That is very intimate and it's adults doing their thing.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you say the women in control thing, because we've talked a lot about this here on the show, that a lot of porn is made from a male perspective for men. And so I think that's why a lot of women tend to go for the stuff that you're searching for as well.
And there's a lot of established porn stars who have had to go through those roles, who then have enough money and enough status behind them to then decide what films they're going to make and what scenarios they're going to control. So I really enjoy those sorts of things as well.
Oh, that's awesome.
And even on the, I won't name which site it is.
Good.
I don't think I can on ABC. But there's one site which actually fulfills people's fantasies. So you have a little interview with them at the beginning where they're saying, this is what I want to happen. And then the scenario plays out, and then they interview them right at the end, and every time they are just ecstatic. They've had the best time of their life. And I really enjoy that as well, because I think it's the consensual nature of getting into the fantasy. Within the fantasy, they don't really have that much control, but they've already outlined what their requirements are, and it's just amazing.
Oh, that's awesome. Thanks so much for giving us a call, Cara.
And thanks for your show, Hannah. It's fantastic.
Oh, thanks, Cara. Great to hear from you. You're on The Hookup with Hannah Riley on Triple J. And I'm also joined by Dr. Megan Lim, who is the Senior Research Fellow at the Head of Sexual Health and Young People Research at the Burnett Institute Center for Population Health. And Dr. Lauren Rosewarne, who is a Senior Lecturer in the School of Social and Political Science at the University of Melbourne. Ladies, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Megan, you've done a lot of research into young people's sexuality and porn usage. How common is it for us to view porn?
So according to the survey we did last year, of 15 to 29-year-olds, pretty much every male in our survey had seen pornography. I think there was only one who said he hadn't.
And what were the ages?
Between 15 and 29, we surveyed about 1,000 people.
And not one said no?
Of the boys, yes. The girls, the majority had seen pornography, but not all of them. And among the young men, around 80% said they watched porn at least weekly, so either weekly, daily, or more often. And among the young women, around 20% said that they watched pornography weekly or daily.
And how much do you think of young people watching porn is about learning about sex? And how can this be helpful and or not helpful?
Well, I guess it's difficult to say what the primary motivation for watching pornography is. It's probably really just to because they enjoy watching it, and
yeah.
The education might be kind of a useful side effect.
But look, that's a good answer to give it a survey if you're embarrassed, to be like, they don't teach us in school. I'm just trying to learn.
Exactly. And that's what a lot of young people have said, that that was kind of one of the major benefits they received from watching pornography, that it was the first time they'd actually seen genitals, that they'd seen the act of sex played out, that they were able to kind of work out what goes where and how it goes. And
yeah, but that also seems like it could be unhelpful as well, because there's a lot of porn that is incredibly unrealistic and not like sex in real life.
Yeah, definitely. That's definitely one of the concerns that sexual health researchers have, that particularly because young people are generally watching pornography, several years before they first have real life sex. So they, their perceptions might be sort of biased by what they've seen in pornography.
Lauren, apart from the obvious, what are some of the reasons that you think young people might be watching porn?
Yeah, I think that part of it is, the obvious, sexual stimulation, etc. Education, research does talk about sort of filling gaps that the school books don't cover, that a general Google search won't give you information about. There's also the idea of fueling fantasies now and getting new ingredients, if you like, or new stimulation for things that you haven't tried and may want to integrate into your sex life as well. So getting inspiration to try new things, to potentially step out of your comfort zone. I think that's an interesting thing about porn consumption. We don't just look at representations of the sex that we have or even the sex that we want to have, but sex that might be freakish to us, but yet nonetheless manages to turn us on as well.
And we're going to be getting into the difference between the porn that we watch for fantasy purposes and the kind of sex that we want to be having in real life a little bit later. But I guess it could also be helpful for young people who are unsure of their sexuality. They don't know what turns them on yet, so they turn to porn to get an idea.
Yeah, and this is certainly something I've done research about, is particularly for non-heterosexuals, pornography is often their very first introduction to sex that's or to their sexuality. And for a long time, that might be the only sexual outlet they have for their particular sexuality. So the idea now of growing up gay now is almost impossible to imagine without a pornography component. And that's completely different to a generation ago before young kids had access to it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You're listening to The Hookup with Hannah Riley on Triple J. We're talking about porn trends and what people search for. And I heard from you on the text line, 0439 75 7555. I fear being judged of people finding my search history for porn, not because it's anything extreme, rather it's what most would classify as soft porn. That's really interesting perspective. Now, looking at the data from Pornhub, lesbian is at the top kind of worldwide. What is it with, hetero men searching for lesbians having sex?
Well, you answered it with one of the callers earlier. Why just one woman when you can have two? So there is that voyeurism aspect of it where, just as men like looking at naked women, or heterosexual men like looking at naked women, why not look at two of them? So there's that sort of voyeurism aspect of it. There's also the vicarious element of imagining yourself in a scenario with two women fighting for control of your penis, which apparently is a popular fantasy for men.
Hey, I've heard from you in the text line. Thanks for getting in touch on 0439 757 555. I'm a 21-year-old female and have watched porn weekly since I was about 17. I used to feel ashamed because none of my other friends did it, but as I got older, I realised that it's nothing to be ashamed of. I feel women do watch it a lot, more than they let on, but deny it because society generally says it's more for males. I mainly search lesbian massages, which is very sensual. I'm myself straight, but it's something that turns me on. Thanks so much for getting in touch with us. And Dr. Megan, what were the stats before about young people and how often young women were saying that they search for porn?
So 20% of young women say that they watch at least weekly.
And is that kind of affected, do you think, by a bit of a stigma, so it could potentially be more if it there's like an honesty factor here?
Yeah, there potentially could be. Our survey was anonymous, so hopefully it wasn't coming into it too much. Mm-hmm. But still, even women may be a bit worried about even admitting it to a computer or to themselves.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Yeah, but I mean, quite a lot of women were watching, about 60% were watching monthly. So even mm-hmm. if they're not watching as regularly as men, they're definitely still watching.
And it was interesting also on the Pornhub data of 2016, lesbians scissoring jumped up 28 spots to number 15, the most searched term of 2016. And I mean, I've heard from many lesbians that this is not actually a thing that happens in real life. It's kind of exclusive to porn. Lauren, why do you think that might be?
A lot of search terms often get inspired by terms that are used in popular culture. So let's say a film, an episode of a television series mentions scissoring. You have people who get, oh my God, what is it? There's also this constant question amongst heterosexuals. What do lesbians do in bed? How is there a possibility of being sexual without a penis? So you tend to have these a curiosity factor, and scissoring is one of those things that seems quite unimaginable for heterosexuals to picture. So it's one of those things that plays out in pornography, and you get to have a visual representation of what you could imagine your neighbours, your lesbian neighbours doing, even if it's actually quite difficult logistically to, you know, of all the jiggery pokery out there, this is one that's a little bit requiring bendable, you know, limbs that often don't bend that way.
More often than I should admit, I do love imagining the scenario of maybe like five dudes all gathered around trying to figure out how lesbians may have sex, and scissoring is what they came up with, just mushing together in a sort of scissor formation.
Well, they've got, you know, you've got to do something after you've had that pillow fight in your negligee, and scissoring's obviously next on the list.
Hey, if you're a woman who has sex with women, I'd love to know if scissoring is a thing that happens in the wild. Give us a call, 1-300-055-36. Now, I'm going to talk about some of the more niche and potentially disturbing trends in the porn searches that were happening. There was stepmom and stepsister came into the top five most searched terms, and mum coming in at number six. Why, Lauren, why?
I love this. So we find the idea of having sex with our own parents or our own siblings disgusting. Rightly so, okay, because it's not, you know, this isn't natural. But the idea of imagining a random familial couple having sex, this is hot. This is this idea of taboo that's experienced at arm's length. You know, it's not our sin, it's their sin. And there's kinkiness because it breaks a whole string of no-nos. And in a world where we've become increasingly sexualized, there's nothing really off limits. Incest still remains one of the last, you know, if you like, last taboos in sexuality, that and something like bestiality, which is less likely to be a Pornhub search because of the legal constraints on that material in Australia.
And I've heard from you on the text line, funnily enough, I don't think my porn choices have any reflection on my sexual preference. I'm female and have slept with women, only to find out that I'm attracted to women, but not necessarily in a sexually intimate way. Whereas I most exclusively watch lesbian porn. I think this is because female porn is softer and in nature less domineering. And there's more foreplay, which I personally enjoy watching the most. And Laura, we were talking before about the potential for the reason why lesbian porn is so popular, that it's coming from a hetero male perspective. There must be a quite significant portion of women who are watching this as well, who maybe identify as straight, but they're just curious.
Yeah, there's the curiosity factor. There's also the fact that men and women have grown up in the same culture that idealises sexy women. So our advertising, our cinema, our television is full of attractive women. We've been taught to objectify and sexualise women. So it's no surprise that there's an element of pleasure that comes from that. But there's also, people don't just watch porn one kind of way. So some people will watch it in a voyeuristic, you know, looking at sex and being turned on. But there's also the, you know, some people watch it and imagine themselves as a participant. So for some women, there's potentially the idea of imagining themselves as one of those women in the scenario being touched sensually, having a gentler or a sexier or more elongated foreplay session than perhaps they experience in real life.
And also, according to the stats across the world, there was an increase in people looking for cartoon porn. And the biggest porn phenomenon of last year was Overland porn. Now, Overland is a computer game What is it about cartoon porn that people are into, do you think?
Look, I think there's something, you know, there's Homer and Marge sex scenarios and weird couplings from The Simpsons.
Isn't it rule number 28 that if you can think of it, someone's made porn about it?
Absolutely. And I think with cartoons, there's an element of, again, this taboo factor because we're used to seeing these cartoon characters in a very G-rated scenario, Homer and Marge together sexually or even Homer with Ned Flanders. It crosses a line, but it's kind of sexy because of the familiarity we have with these characters. It's almost like sort of sticking our head over the neighbours or sticking our, you know.
Lauren.
I'm just out looking through the window of peeping Tom. I'm trying to say a lot of metaphors at once, but looking at our neighbours and having a squiz at what they do sexually.
Maybe like the guy from Home Improvement, that maybe that's a whole other.
Al, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it's because we have an attachment to these characters, there's an added element of depth watching them in sexual scenarios. And keep in mind, not everyone watches porn to masturbate. I think this is an important point to remember, is the idea that people watch porn not just for sexual stimulation, but for a whole lot of other purposes as well. So particularly now that you know, we're such a sexualized society, it could be considered recreation quite separate from self-stimulation.
I'm joined by Dr. Megan Lim and Dr. Lauren Rosewarne to help us talk through porn searches and what that means about our sexual landscape and also how porn can and or could potentially improve our awareness of sexual health. Lauren, are we searching for things that we want in real life or is it all kind of just a fantasy?
So it's a combination. Some people do it because they want to, you know, work out how to, ways I can coerce my girlfriend to have anal with me. But other ways are things like you're looking at for a scenario that you're turned on by but you don't necessarily want to experience. So something I discuss in my book Part-Time Perverts is ways to experience a fantasy that might be illegal or messy or expensive for you to get the stuff together to make it happen. So one way of experiencing it would be through watching representations of it. And things like, you know, golden showers. I could imagine that post Donald Trump, the incident last week, that there's quite possibly a spike in search terms for representations of that. It's a good example of something that requires a little bit of thinking in terms of logistics, in terms of where you're going to do this. Some people will say, I just can't be bothered putting down drop sheets or I don't want to do it in the bathroom. I'd rather just watch a representation of it and get off that way. And I think that goes for a whole lot of sexual behaviours that might be messy or expensive or even if you're actually someone who doesn't have access to a partner, it's a way to get a thrill from that sexual that type of sex without actually being a physical participant.
Yeah, and with things like 50 Shades of Grey moving into the mainstream, it seems like there's a lot more interest in BDSM, particularly in porn. Is this just curiosity, do you think?
Yeah, it's curiosity. I think it's also a way to work out whether you're actually interested in it or not, and therefore also the spectrum of, you know, you use the term BDSM. There's a lot in that one term, you know. Are you interested in just a little bit, a little light spanking, or do you want something that's actually more extreme? And pornography online offers you that spectrum from the, you know, pink fluffy handcuffs right through to stuff that would, if you can imagine, is actually quite brutal, extreme, the kind of stuff that would make me cower because I have sensitivities around things like blood.
Dr. Megan, how do you feel about this with more young people watching porn? Do you think there needs to be a bit more education out there about consent practices if more people are looking to BDSM kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think consent is a bit of an issue in porn generally. I mean, porn particularly portrays people engaging in sex acts without showing the process of consent.
Yeah.
So generally in porn, the actors are up for anything, you know, whatever's being done to them, they react with positive sounds. That's not really how sex works. You know, not everyone likes everything. And if you're going to do something a bit out there or something different, you do have to kind of check with your partner first to see if it's okay. So I think porn definitely has a few issues around consent generally.
I think it's a really interesting problem because I'm not really sure of the kind of solution for that. I mean, do we show a scene beforehand where each actor is like, I'm up for, these are my boundaries, and kind of talks through consent? What do you think, Lauren?
I think that's tricky. Pornography is fantasy. So it's kind of like how if we cast our minds to advertising and talk about why don't we see more size 14 and size 16 women on the catwalk? Well, because advertising and catwalk fashion is about buying into a dream. And I think partly people watch pornography for recreation and relief. So the idea of having a sex education lesson through pornography, you're just going to have people fast forward, much like with the old FBI warnings on a DVD not to copy it.
You wouldn't steal a car.
Yeah, you wouldn't. That's exactly right. You wouldn't steal a car. You wouldn't have sex with a woman against her will. You'll just fast forward it because we want to get to the good bit. So I think the answer for me, if you'd asked me that question in terms of what's the solution, I think particularly for young people is this huge dearth of information about media literacy, and to learn about how material in porn is a very specific kind of material that's there not primarily for education purposes. So our sex education has to come from somewhere else. And I think this idea of people looking at any media, not just pornography, and looking at it as gospel or as fact or as information is really troublesome. And I think part of that is because a lot of parents and schools have their head in the sand about access. You know, research says that 10 years old is now the average age that kids first look at it. Sex education doesn't start in schools until years later. So there's a gap in terms of young people getting information about things such as sex without consent in a setting that's designed to stimulate you as opposed to convey information. So I think parents and teachers need to step up to the plate there.
Just going back to the Pornhub search terms of 2016 for a minute, teen was actually a massive one. And porn performers, of course, need to be of legal age and consent. But do you think the reason why this is a popular search term is because maybe teens are viewing porn and want to see themselves reflected in an experience?
Yeah, there's that. There's also a fetishization of youth that our culture experiences, where the young body is attractive and more attractive than other types of bodies. So it's a way also of tiptoeing on this line of illegality. So you see a lot of pornography advertised as barely legal, for example, and that's partly to do with this idea of, you know, jail bait and the sexiness that comes from potentially being that girl's first and breaking her in. And there's a lot of sort of cultural narratives around the young female body. And, you know, that's not the, you know, we know that at the other end of the spectrum, there's also granny porn, but there's something.
I don't actually see that on the top lists of last year.
It's not, but if you go onto Pornhub, it's going to be there in the search directory in terms of categories where there's a lot of content. So there's obviously a market for it, and for different reasons, of course. But there's certainly, you know, a skew towards people liking young bodies because we're a culture that likes youth.
You're listening to The Hookup with Hannah Riley on Triple J. We're talking about porn search terms and what that is saying about the current sexual landscape. And you've gotten in touch with me on the text line, which is 0439757555. I'm a gay man and I watch gay porn on Tumblr, which shows real men, not porn stars, having real sex. And that is so much more satisfying than something you will find on Pornhub or any other porn site. The thing I find interesting about quote-unquote amateur porn, though, is don't a lot of the major studios make amateur porn and make it just look that way?
Yeah, I mean, they hire dodgy-looking hotel rooms and make it like, you know, well, this is our mum and dad's grand, you know, lounge room, etc. And I think this is because we've moved away from narrative porn where, you know, she can't pay for the pizza. Oh, my God, what ways can we pay for the pizza? Now there's this tendency to have very short clip-like pornography where, you know, it's supposed to be fly on the wall. And that's partly a revolt against, you know, that very stylized 80s porn where you had a lot of silicone breasts, big hair. There's been a move towards a desire for authenticity, even if that authenticity is manufactured by the same corporations.
And I think also with amateur porn, it's sometimes you can't tell if it's been shared with consent. So there's a lot of concern at the moment around revenge pornography. So
yeah,
you know, a couple makes a sex tape and then it gets shared. And with amateur porn, you've got no way of knowing whether you know, that was uploaded with the consent of both parties.
Yeah, Megan, as someone who's studied porn in relation to young people's sexual health and sexuality, what would you like to see maybe changed?
Well, as Lauren was saying before, education really is the key here. You know, we can't forget that most young people are watching pornography, and sex ed really has to acknowledge that, and it has to be included in curriculum, not you know, showing pornography in classrooms, but, you know, openly discussing pornography and some of the issues around it, you know, improving literacy of young people in terms of, you know, recognising the difference between what's reality and what's fantasy.
I said before, I kind of half joked that are we maybe going to see scenes where porn actors are talking through the consent of what's actually going to happen, but apparently that exists.
Yeah, there is porn. I mean, a lot of the casting couch type pornography, which I have a particular aversion. I don't know why, it's just of all the genres, this is what grates on me most, where you've got the girl sitting on the couch and he's asking her about her boundaries and she's agreeing in a way that you can't possibly agree to some of the stuff that's going to be done until you've done it before.
Yeah.
And it seems actually very contrived in a way that gives the person watching it relief, as though, oh, I'm not watching anything that's coerced. She was totally into it. Where in fact, that looks more staged than the sex to me. So, but yes, there is attempts to showcase some sort of consent in porn, not all of it very genuine.
And for a lot of people, coercion is actually a turn on. That's something that, so in our research, we asked people how often they saw things like women being tricked into having sex. And, you know, it does happen quite a lot in pornography that people watch.
Dr. Megan Lim, Dr. Lauren Rosewarne, thanks so much for joining us on The Hookup to help us
Anytime.
Learn about the sex landscape of us online.
Thank you.